Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and News for the Heart. I have a very special guest that I am very excited to share with you. It is Peace Mother Gita, Sacred Song. And Peace Mother is a world-recognized Mayan peace shaman, an enlightened master, master healer, and the embodiment of the Divine Mother of the universe. I want to welcome you to the show. I am very excited to have you on. We chatted a little bit before we started, and you know, we really connect on a deep level, and I really am grateful for all the opportunities that we get to connect with, you know, just the message of love and peace. And it is the most important thing of all the things that we do. You know, finding unconditional love, sharing, giving unconditional love, probably much more than finding, is our purpose here. It's everything that we're meant to do. And unconditional love is everywhere. It's just that we tend to let a little bit of fear distract us from that. And so that's the spectrum. Love on one side, fear on the other. And when you're not feeling that love that you are going to feel today, because I know that that is what is so special about our show today, is that we are going to get to experience just the bliss of unconditional love. So welcome to the show, Peace Mother. I'm very excited to have you.
Thank you, dearest Lori. Beautiful, beautiful to be with you. Divine Mother, grace, 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 grace. 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 In the end, and always in every step along the way, it's all about grace. Yeah. It's all about love, isn't it? And you said it perfectly. And really, that is the core lesson in our life path. It's that there's the fear on one side, always there's the loving guidance on the other side, and the love within us to empower us to be impeccable warriors of light. And it takes grace to realize it. It takes grace to have each level of realization. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, it can happen in a heartbeat.
Like, what I like to say is, it's really, really simple. It's just not that easy.
That is a perfect way to say it. That is it in a nutshell.
We are soul sisters. I can tell that.
Yes. Well, you know, what happens is, and this includes all of your listeners, your dear ones, is that this is also another realization that on the way to enlightenment, we must have at some point, it will take place, because it must take place, because we must understand at some point, we must wake up and have this wonderful realization of oneness, that we are all part of this one loving energy. And people who have had, for example, near-death experiences, they speak of this often, of how when they're on the other side and they're out of the limited body, and out of the limited mind, now with the expanded eternal perspective, they do feel their oneness with everything. And they always say it's really indescribable, which actually is, because human words are human words. And they're a bit, actually, compared to the divine energy, it's two different levels. And so it's very limited. We're in a box. However, our goal here on the path, each and every one of us, is to do everything we can to reach out to that eternal perspective, to reach out to that eternal wisdom, infinite wisdom, to reach out to our higher self, which is eternal and unlimited. And then when we discover is that you and I, like the Maya say, Pashin Lakech, you, it means you are me, I am you, we are one and the same. And that's the same as namaste, namaste, aloha, shalom. It's the same essence, mean, and in its actuality, it's the absolute truth. There is only the one. There's only the one. I've also discovered that in my lifetime, that whatever characteristics we have, each of us, and whatever our soul mission is, we're not the only ones. There's actually, apart from there, of course, there are many heroic beings on the planet at any time. But apart from that, there actually are people who are our soul sisters and soul brothers, where we are cut from the same cloth. We are just a slightly bit different, but so much we are the same in what we love, what we feel a resonance with, how we choose to live. So yes, I'm sure that you and I are cut from the same beautiful, radiant, golden cloth.
I love that. I love that. Oh, you have done a lot of things, but for those of us, or for those that are listening that have never heard of you, tell us a little bit how you got on this path, and I mean, what your biggest dream is obviously around peace and love and grace. But what, you know, how did you sort of get started? How did this journey begin?
Well, my journey began as I believe everyone's journey begins, which is that we all have karmic roots. So when I was, and what I have seen in my life is that I've really gone full circle to my childhood. When I was a little girl, first of all, when I became enlightened, a lot of my memory was just dissolved. Wow. There are many, many things, good and bad. it's important to understand good also, not just bad. They're just gone. And timelines are all a blur. It's all a blur of this constant rediscovery of life. And so I love it because it keeps me very fresh. And so I do remember a few things about my childhood, only a few, the important things. And I remember that I sang everywhere I went. I sang at the top of my lungs. My cousins once said that they could, we lived in the country. So we were surrounded by big orchards and country roads, and they lived quite a ways away from us. And so they said they could always hear me coming because I would be singing at the top of my lungs. and I used to run through the orchards. I do have that memory of running through the orchards, and I've always been a multitasker. So I like to be productive in many ways, as many ways as possible in any one moment. So I would practice jumping as if I was jumping hurdles, because I studied as a child. I was a very big reader, and I read the books. I was drawn to the books of champions, Olympic champions. I was very sporty myself, and I just came in with that champion spirit. I came in very independent, and so I would run, and I would practice with my little legs jumping over the rows of the soil, of the dirt, where they water. And I would give myself the challenge that I was not to knock over one speck of dirt. And if I did, I had to start all over again and run from one end of the orchard to the other. So sprint from one end of the orchard to the other while singing, because I had to sing. I was like, awesome. Singing was my lifeline, right? So I don't remember thinking about any of this. I remember very few thoughts. I just remember that I did that. I also have a memory of perhaps in the fourth or fifth grade in grade school, of writing a play, a musical, and trying to get all my classmates to sing along with me. And of course, they didn't want to. And so I would get very frustrated. Come on, what's wrong with you? So it was funny, because then years later, when I was touring in different parts of the world and then in the US, and I would do programs for church groups and things like this. And so nobody wanted to sing. And I would get them to sing, of course, but I had to coax them a lot and shower them with a lot of love so they would relax and just know that they were great and perfect as they are. And that the important thing was to raise your voice, to praise the light, to praise spirit. So your question was, how did I get started? I believe all of us, you know, we already come in with both the positive and the negative of the karmic samskaras. So these impressions, they're there. However, we will only remember what we need to remember when we need to remember it, because that's what makes for a good play. You know, if you're watching in theater a play or reading a story, well, you can't just jump to the end. You can, but it's not as much fun because there have to be the ups and downs. And so then as a young woman, after I got through my teenage years, I feel like there was shamanic amnesia that fell upon me on purpose. Yeah. Because I really felt I was superhuman and I really had very little compassion. This is what I feel that I had compassion. I've always been a very loving being, a very tender heart, but I couldn't really understand this human condition. I felt I was superhuman. I felt I used to jump off of trees and the roof of our house constantly, determined to fly. You relate, right?
Yeah.
And I would get so angry, really angry and frustrated, just so angry. And I don't know if I can't remember if I knew who I was angry at, but I was just angry at this human condition. I was like, no way, no way, no way. I can't fly. So this was always there. And then I went through the shamanic amnesia period and then focused on taking care of my family, my mother and my father, and providing for them and having experiences in the material world as a regular person. But of course, I was never a regular person. And people did sense that about me, and people would gravitate towards me as someone that they felt had strength and had answers that could help them, somehow help them clarifying their path, their life. So many adventures there, many learning experiences that were necessary so that I could understand the human condition. Because if I was not dipped into the color blue, for example, I would never know what it's like to be blue. And if I was not dipped into, you know, the color yellow and so on, you won't know. You have to get immersed in it. And so that gave me the great gift of compassion. Now I understand fully the human experience, the path, and I am moved to tears. Often you'll find I may cry many times during this interview because my love for humanity and for the dear ones, the spirit guides and the divine protectors, it's boundless. It's boundless. And I don't believe that we should keep it a secret. We should cry. We should cry tears of adoration for the light, and we should cry tears of respect and recognition and love for ourselves, because each of you is unique. You're all unique. You're amazing. You're so great. But when the shamanic amnesia, when there's layers of this upon you, you're not going to remember it. So that's why we have spiritual practices. That's why spirit, great spirit, gave us spiritual practices so that we can discard layer upon layer upon layer and have our true consciousness, our higher consciousness, our infinite consciousness arise within us. So through grace, to make a long story short, through grace, then I was at the right place at the right time to meet my teachers. And each one of them then made a huge contribution in my evolution. So I'm a very big fan of the guru principle, of the teacher principle, because I have experienced a true teacher, a pure teacher, the illuminated being. I have seen it. And so I was so blessed to see that firsthand. And then with my first teachers, who were my gurus from India, and I studied very carefully. I watched them. I adored them. I respected them. So by the time I met my Mayan teacher, Don Jacinto Sabchak, let me back up a little bit. So I feel that even though I was studying these gurus of mine, but I really was not able to be an impeccable student. because I didn't know. I just didn't have the training. And that's the way it is with everyone. We can't know what we don't know until we know it. So in the meantime, there's folly. In the meantime, there's lack of attention, like this. But by the time I met Don Jacinto, I had been praying and crying so many tears to melt the heart of the beloved, to bestow upon me a shamanic teacher. I was very clear at that point. The longing arose within me that I must have a teacher that was able to heal everything and everyone, that was like such a pure being, that they would have my respect, because I was not a fool in that way. I have always had a good, really good sense of people. And I saw clearly, okay, this person has these positive traits and they have these negative traits. And it was very important for me to respect whoever I was going to give my attention to. So I had prayed for that. And I also had prayed that this being illumined, would recognize me, that they would know that I was worthy to be trained, that they should see me for who I really was. And I cried and I cried and I cried so many tears. And the doors felt locked and blocked. But one day, finally, through many synchronistic moments aligning, I met Don Jacinto. Nice. And that's a whole story I can share with you whenever you wish. That has many funny moments and great moments. But I met him, and then he gave me the last empowerment, which was that I had difficulty understanding darkness. I had difficulty accepting it, the existence of darkness. I didn't get it. There were blocks on my mind. There were these blocks that could not allow me to understand that both exist, the light and the darkness. So I resisted that so much, even though I was doing all these mantras constantly. And I was also feeling psychic attack constantly. Couldn't sleep during the night, like many people, and especially sensitive people experience. But when I met Don Jacinto, and he accepted me right away. And then he said, from now on, you're going to sit beside me in the consultations and you'll listen in and you'll observe. And so then I saw case after case after case that came in of people with very serious psychic attack or illnesses. And I saw that through grace, through his great devotion to his path, to the light, he was able to lift those evil spells and those dark conditions. So that was my final empowerment. Nice. And then once I mastered what he had taught me, then Spirit put me to work to travel around the world and to go and speak with very, very many diverse groups, be involved in diverse events, and share that with them in the way that the Holy Spirit, the Mahashakti, desires it be done. And that brings us to here with you.
Well, that's a great story. I think we often, as much as there's the potential to come into our remembrance through love and joy, I think we all sort of need to have some sort of something, at least right now, when we're still sort of in the third dimension, that we kind of need to have something that sort of wakes us up. And that's usually done through, some sort of pain or something that we kind of go, wait a minute, this isn't right. This isn't enough. And,
right.
I have struggled as well with the darkness aspect. I took a lot of teachings where, that when they talk about warriors of light, they really were, wanting you to be a warrior to fight the dark. And it was just, I found it fascinating. It wasn't part of me. And I didn't feel that was something, as much as I understand that there are a lot of people that need help, I still think most of the people, it's within themselves that, well, everybody is, we're not given anything unless we can heal it ourselves or work with it ourselves. But I think a lot of times we want to give our power away to everybody else. And that's when it becomes a little bit challenging, because I know I've helped people clear a lot of the darkness, but because they're still holding on to something that is giving them power, they don't really, as much as they say they want to get rid of it, they don't really want to get rid of it. I mean, it's a hard thing. And I want to bring up the fact that although we're recording this and we're not going to actually get to hear it until Friday the 14th, we are actually recording this on September 11th, which is a great day of, well, where everybody sort of remembers what happened, and how important it is to know that, you know, within every challenge that we have, the opportunity to find love is always there. And I think that's the piece of the remembrance that we keep forgetting. I mean, even when I know, even when I've been in states of pure bliss, I'll still forget, because I'll get caught up in the everyday world and go, oh yeah, right. Yep, this is not where I want to go. But it's the memories of both. I mean, it's fascinating that you have forgotten a lot. I wonder what that would be like. I think we, and I'm getting way too many things in this one little conversation, but I think we tend to overemphasize the skills of our mind, and it's our mind that sort of takes over. And when our mind takes over, we can't quite get into our heart. But
Yes, I agree. I agree on all of that. Well, the thing is that it's the path. Walking the path is a lot like cooking in the kitchen or baking a dessert. There's a lot of steps. There's a lot of ingredients, and there's a lot of techniques you can learn from others. And then there's a lot that you have to learn by swirling the batter yourself, you know, and getting up there and frying that vegetable yourself. Nobody's going to be able to tell you everything. That's not been my experience either, that a lot of, even though I had these great teachers, none of them continue. I have a lot of dreams of them constantly, where we're in the dream time together, and they're there for me, but they're not telling me every step of my path what I'm going to do next and how it's going to turn out. There's a lot of walking on the tightrope and just jumping off the cliff and trusting. And so for this reason, what is very important on the path is that we must learn the path. We must learn the everything that comprises the path, because it's like, for example, a very practical example is if you are going to go from one city to the other or one country to the other, you really should learn about where you're going and what the travel is like and the dangers as well as the rewards and the shortcuts and as well as where you can get lost. A wise traveler is what we must be, a wise traveler. And what happens in the human condition is we get very distracted and we fall in love with things that are not going to save our life when the moment depends on us having that knowledge. So we fall in love with our favorite television program, with our favorite foods, a lot of distraction. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying those things. But what I want to share with everyone is, and I share this all the time, this is how I live, is I don't get distracted. I can enjoy everything. I can enjoy, I like chocolate, for example, dark chocolate. I can enjoy dark chocolate. I can enjoy a good dessert, because I do like desserts. And I can enjoy something uplifting and something else uplifting. And I can also help people, and I can get into the battle, and I can fight against the darkest of dark forces to help somebody live and be happy and to triumph. I can do that, but I don't get distracted about what it's all about. And what it's all about is our connection to the light, to love. And however, okay, so now we know that. However, how are you going to maintain that connection? You see, that's the part where you say, you know, it's easy, but it's not so easy. Mm. It's easy, but as they say, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. And that means every day. Then we should all have, if you want to succeed spiritually on whatever your path, and you can combine paths as far as I'm concerned, and what has been my experience and how I live is I don't have prejudices. I don't have a lot of thoughts about rigidity. It's like, if it belongs to the light, if it belongs to the goodness, if it supports the Dharma, then if it works for me, let's add it to the plate. That's how I eat my food too. Many ingredients. I like lots of tastes and layers. So lots of layers. But we must be conscious when we're enjoying that food, or we could choke on it. And we must be conscious, or we could overeat and go out of balance. So how are we going to then maintain that connection? Is through doing our spiritual work every day, maintaining some set of spiritual practices. And it doesn't have to be cumbersome. You know, on our website, I don't know if you've ever been there, but one of the big things, and in the YouTube videos, one of the big things I recommend to people is a tool I use a lot, which is the shamanic healing and clearing rattle. That rattle, that particular rattle, is a unique rattle, and it makes this thunderous noise when you use it. And the dark forces absolutely hate it because it dissolves them. It brings in the light codes in such a tremendous way that it dissolves them. And so I use it always. I've always used it in sessions when I used to do personal sessions, and also in workshops, in intensives. And so if you have that rattle, for example, then people that have it, they carry it in their purse or their briefcase, and even in the car, they rattle around themselves. Plus, you have a mantra or two, or you have prayers that you do to this divine being and that divine being. But the key is consistency, consistency, consistency. If you're consistent every time we do something sacred, then we grab on to our golden cord, that channel that connects us to our divine self, our higher self, to the all-powerful love and light. And we connect with it, and now we are its perfect instrument. So if we do it again and again and again, then one day you don't forget that you are holding that cord, that you have the power to grab onto that cord, and that you have the power to make the choice to choose wisely as to what you do with every thought, with every heartbeat. So choice, so a consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. And, you know, the path, someone, wise beings have said, the path is not supposed to be a comfortable place. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot in my books. I talk a lot about, I often like to use the comparison of sports. You're never going to hear a martial artist whine about what they have to do as a workout. If someone wants to be an Olympic champion, they're not going to whine. They're not going to succumb to excuses. They want it. And so that's the key. We must want it. But then again, how can you want something when there are energies attached that then make you distracted and make you think you want something that's of a lower vibration? So staying clear, maintaining your energetic field clear and brilliant and beautiful. Let me tell you something, kids. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a blast. You gotta try it. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's radiant. Why? Because it frees you. So if you feel ever like you're in a box, it's because you are. It's the gravity of the earth. It's the societal pressures of all their thoughts, of the humanity's thoughts of limitation, limitation, limitation. Otherwise, if these limitations were not there, we'd all be singing a lot more and dancing a lot more. We'd be engaging in the wisdom and singing up the power, but we're not, and we're shy about that. And so why is that? There's an energy there blocking who you really are, which is the ever-flowing grace, 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 the Holy Spirit, the Mahashakti, whatever name you want to give to it, it's all about grace, grace, grace. And you can do it, but we got to do the work. We've got to put in the work, and we've got to want it. And if we're not yet sure we want it, then we should pray to want what is for our highest and best and purest. Not because Lori said so, not because Peace Mother said so, but just say, whatever's for my highest, best, and purest, whatever is part of my highest destiny, help me to want that, and help me to master that, and help me to be your great instrument to uplift all suffering everywhere, all the time, in every way possible. Please help me. And then offer up some song or prayer to give thanks, thanks, thanks for the grace that is always being showered upon you.
Well, that was beautiful.
Spirit is beautiful, and spirit is perfect, and spirit is complete. And so who needs to become more complete so we can realize we're already perfect, that we've always been perfect, is us. But this is why, you know, different teachers, different leaders, spiritual leaders have different assignments on what they're supposed to emphasize. Since I was that little girl, that little champion girl, when I was a little girl, I ran around with a wooden sword in my hand. So I came in with it. And I used to beat up on the bullies that would terrorize these boys that were stronger than the girls. And they used to try to oppress the girls, or they didn't want the girls to play, you know, to win any games in the softball and things like that. I would beat up on them. So I would grab them and swing them around and throw them in the dirt. And then later, many years later, I met this man that grew up to be like 6 foot something. I'm only 5 foot. He said, "Do you remember that you used to swing me in the dirt?" I said to him, "I'd do it again if you acted like that."
Oh, I love that.
And so, you know, again, so we, it really is a blast. I want to encourage everyone, just cast off those chains that are holding you back. Well, I couldn't be that. How could I ever be that? I understand those feelings. I had those feelings once upon a time myself. But I'm here to tell you that you're living in a very special time that gives you a huge advantage over those of us that blossomed in the past. Mm-hmm. It's like the children that you see now that come in that are just gifted from birth. They're, you know, whether it's the crystal children, it's the indigo children, whatever name we want to give to them, these children are coming in with this amazing, amazing consciousness. And they know and they see. And you are living in this time when there is so much grace, available. But remember my message, remember my assignment. My assignment is that I'm not here to just sparkle your eyes, then you don't see the danger. You know, I wouldn't be a wise parent if I sent you out into the street and said, don't worry about the traffic. No, you have to be conscious. I'm not saying worry about it, but be conscious. I wouldn't give you a motorcycle to a three-year-old and say, you know, do whatever you want. As I say in the Impeccable Warrior of Light, one of the Impeccable Warrior of Light books, is these people, there are many people, mediums, you know, and then there are some who just don't believe in the dark force. In fact, there's one lady that says they don't exist. I find that is very cruel. I'm not saying they mean to be cruel, but I feel it's unconscious. Because if you've ever been attacked, and everybody's attacked all day long. No one ever stops being attacked on planet Earth. You know, sometimes it's physical things. And so sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's emotional. If you, for example, are totally like myself, I'm not available to the dark forces, but my team is going to get affected. Dark forces will try to create obstacles, delays. So by affecting this person's mind, it's like, well, why did you forget to do that? Like, you know, it's like, why? But I know the answer to why. I'm more just pointing it out to them. I know why. Dark force interference. And that's their job. And this is the key point, my dear ones. Don't be afraid of dark forces. Understand. It's like saying that you want to just become oblivious about viruses, or, you know, hurricane comes along. Oh yeah, no, I'm not going to be concerned that the water is going to get contaminated when the pipes break and that there's going to be flooding. We are here on Earth, so we do have to deal with the earthly conditions, but we are also here to illuminate the earthly conditions, to constantly utilize our spiritual gifts, the power of our word, the power of our intention, the power of our soul, to uplift, to change, to transform, to enlighten, to illuminate, to liberate, and to uplift. But how can you uplift something if you don't know it needs uplifting? But of course it needs uplifting. You know, we can't say to someone who's drowning, oh, I don't believe in dark forces. So, you know, it's like you're just on your own. Yeah, we've got to see, hey, something made this person be in that dangerous situation, but what now, what can I do about it? And also, I must make sure, when I say I'm speaking about like in a situation where it'd be any of us, that person must make sure that I'm strong enough to be able to save them, to pull them out of that quicksand or out of that water, that riptide that's trying to take them down. I have to be strong enough, because if I am weak, the weak cannot save the drowning. We must be champions of light. We must see ourselves as someone that's going for the Olympic gold, and we've got to love our workouts. Love the workout, dear ones. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, because it loves you. It's going to bestow all these blessings upon you. But if we don't do it, we just end up with the flabby arms. We end up with no strength. And then when you try to help a loved one that's drowning, they're going to pull you down and you're both going to drown. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So, you know, again, this is not theory. It's not just that it's a passion of mine. This is what I live. This is what I live. So all around me, people need my help. They need your help. If I don't stay strong, then how can I help them? Because it's work. It's work. It takes energy. So I've got to be able to have the energy to give. You and I could not do this interview if we didn't have the energy to speak, to lift words, to channel. So there's a lot that goes into everything, and we must become conscious. But again, don't let it scare you. Don't let it overwhelm you. If you drive a car today, once upon a time, you did not know how to drive that car. And I am sure it was overwhelming, especially remember the cars where you used to have to do the clutch. You know, this wasn't the automatic thing. Now it's pretty easy to drive a car. Children can drive it. But you still have to know when to brake. You have to be able to watch for the other traffic. You have to understand that there's going to be someone who's on drugs or drinking or distracted. They're on their cell phone and they're going to run that red light. These dangers do exist. Now we must make sure they don't land on us, and we must protect all that is good to make sure that it also flowers and blossoms and goes on. And that takes wisdom, takes an awakened consciousness, and takes strength. Or now I just want to say one more thing about that strength. Okay. Can I?
Absolutely.
So on the strength, just understand too, that again, like Lori was saying, love is the answer. And that's one of my favorite mantras. Love is the answer, because you can have people that accumulate all kinds of knowledge and they are very strong, but their heart is shut down. And to them, I challenge in my books, like I think Birth of a Shaman, one of the Shaman's Art Journal books that I wrote. I challenge these shamans, these people who shapeshift, these people that get into the tricks. Oh, I can do this. All these parlor games. I can do this. Oh, I can channel. Oh, I channel Cleopatra, you know, or whoever. And I say to them, it's like, show me your heart. Let me see your love. Come on. Let me see your love. Because if you don't have a compassionate heart, if you don't have a radiant, ever-flowing golden heart, then you're just playing games. And I got news for those people. That's not getting you anywhere. In fact, it's just keeping you bounding your ego. So an enlightened being is not bound in ego. There is no petty ego anymore. We're just an instrument for the light. We don't think we're this and that. No matter what we dress like, no matter what nice things people say about us, that's wonderful. But who's doing the work always is the light, is the grace. And the dark forces have their part to play, because it's just like working out. You have to have resistance to build muscles. There has to be something that's going to resist you. Otherwise, we take it all for granted. We become spoiled children. We don't appreciate the light. But when your life is in danger, oh, you appreciate the light. You really appreciate it. You appreciate the grace. When you're down and someone is kind to you, we really appreciate love, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, that's all we all want, really, just to be loved and accepted for who we are. I mean, it's the biggest thing that when I do my clearing work is to help people just remember that it doesn't matter about anybody else. It's, mm-hmm. you know, that deep connection to our infinite being is really about understanding that we are loved and accepted, whether it's, you know, in the non-physical and the physical. I mean, not a lot of people get, unfortunately, in the physical, but it's just, there's so much love all around us at all times.
There is. You know, when people accompany me, my assistants, and we'll say we go to run an errand, and so then we're in a store, and whoever's in front of me, I shower them with love. I shower them with them, and I tell them to pay you more. You are so great with people. I notice everything about each one and then reflect it back to them. And I tell the person accompanying me when we leave, so that, because I'm training them. So you see, every person makes a difference to each other. Love is, you're absolutely correct. Love is what we're longing for, because in the divine field, on the other side, we experience unconditional love, and it really is indescribable, unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And it always makes you want to cry because it's so overwhelming. It's so beautiful. It's just beyond description. But here on the limited sphere, then people look at each other and we don't realize that we're connected. We don't feel it. And people don't feel connected to us. And everyone wants to belong. Yeah. We all long to be seen and to be heard and to be understood. Mm. And I join you in that prayer. It's my prayer every day throughout the day, is that may all beings be happy and may all beings blossom in self-love, and they be surrounded by true love and true friendship and mega golden support for their luminous mission and their luminous essence. So yes, love is the everlasting factor that makes the world go round and keeps it being reborn, keeps us being reborn. It's always there for us. So we must find our ways. Just start with one new technique today. Find something, you know, go to Lori's instructional videos, to the ones we have under Impeccable Warrior of Light. Go to the website, look at the books. You know, I find that even just looking at the book cover that has a great message, that has an illuminated being, a loving being on the cover, just by looking at it, you are inspired, because everything is essence. Everything is vibration. So fill yourself up, my dear ones. Fill yourself up. And if you find that some relationships are just not filling you up, then see what your part in it is to uplift them. But I always tell all my students, don't allow anything or anyone to treat you like a doormat, and don't you treat yourself like a doormat. Stand up for yourself, because it starts with ourselves, self-love. In fact, there's a book I want to recommend to everyone that I've written, and it's called Love in All Caps, The Ceremonial Bowl and Sacred Flame. Because that's what we must understand about ourselves, that we are the ceremonial bowl and the sacred flame. And what does that mean? Well, if you read the book, you will understand it, because there is a lot of encouragement there for you to appreciate yourself as someone who's golden and beautiful and radiant. Just one last thing, if I may, on that. Well, you know, with my students, so we have some very great conversations, and many times we record things so that we can pass it on to others later on. And I constantly tell them, I see you one way and you see yourself another. I see you. I love you. I love your soul. I love your soul essence, your brightness. I am so excited for you. I'm so joyful to spirit that you were created. You're amazing. You're just so beautiful and radiant and powerful. But why do you suffer? Because you don't realize that. And no matter how many times I tell you, you know, it's like water just dropping off of the concrete building. Some of it will penetrate, but maybe not that much, and the rest just falls off. So Do surround yourself with things that remind you that you are great, that you are great. And if you do that again, if it's repetitive, I say grace is accumulative. Mm-hmm. So if you do something enough times, you do enough good actions, loving actions towards yourself, then one day you actually believe it, and it will be a knowledge, self-knowledge that will stay. Because like Lori said, it's so true that we cannot expect the world to reflect to us that love. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You know, it depends. So there's a lot of different ways that people reflect their love. There's a lot of other people who are asleep that don't realize they have any love to give. They find it hard because of dark energies attached. Then they find it hard to open up their heart. They find it hard to reflect love. So we have to be able to reflect our own. And here's the great news. But you're not alone. Never, 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 never. You've got a spirit team. You've got beyond, you can't count them. There's so many in your spirit team, your ancestors, your spirit guides, divine protectors that are assigned to you, specifically to you. And they are cheering you on, but you can't feel it sometimes and you can't hear it. And why not? Because you got to get that rattle and rattle around yourself. You got to say those mantras and sing those freedom songs. You got to do the meditation to get some of those chunks of concrete to fall off from your auric field. Lori does lots of clearing, so I'm sure that you are in agreement with that, that it's through the practices that then layers fall off, right?
Yeah.
And then when those layers fall off, now we experience a whole new reality. I remember this case of this woman that had been married 25 years. And she came to see me and she was ready to divorce her husband and they were totally different. And she was totally frustrated through their differences. And that was it. She was ready to call it quits. So I said to her, well, if you're open to my suggestion, why don't you bring him? So she had a session done, a soul retrieval session, a holy Shakti Pat Limpia session done. And I said, why don't you bring your husband or ask him to come for one? Because I've always found that big decisions should not be made until everybody gets cleared the sufficient amount of time, because otherwise you're not your real loving self. You're some version of that. And he's not his real loving self. He's some version of that. And right now you're totally missing each other. You're not even able to understand how you're each communicating. So why don't you come for sessions and then become more your real self, and then you can flow real love. And then there's a chance that there'll be cooperation and understanding. So she did. She, you know, not everyone's open, but in his case, he was. And they each only had a couple of sessions. And then I didn't hear from them for a long time. And then one day I went to another town to do a program. And they were there attending. And they were so in love. They were like teenagers, just, you know, very close to each other and lots of tender love flowing between them. It was really beautiful to see. So when we clear anybody that has anything big, a big meeting, if you're going through tough times, if your child or yourself, someone's in the opioid crisis, you know, addicted, or even if just illness, because when people are ill, they are given a lot of medications. And each one of those medications is changing who you really are. There's darkness that is seeping in, negative patterns that are being reinforced, and good patterns that are not being illuminated like they could be, because these medications, they are so strong. That's why people commit suicide a short time sometimes after taking a medication. It's too strong, and the soul can't handle it. And they lose their connection to that golden cord. So before we do anything important, and while we're doing anything, we should keep ourselves very clear. Clear, 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 clear. Find the tools, find the therapies, but clear away so that you can be successful in your soul mission of living a radiant life full of love.
I love that. Now you have a multitude of albums where you have beautiful mantras that are already prepared for people. can I assume that if people listen and sing along, that that will also assist them with, I'm assuming that's exactly why you've done it, but
Yes, absolutely. That's I'm on fire every day. I want to record more. I don't want to sleep. Oh. It just bothers me when I have to sleep. but I don't want to because I want to record. I think about my dear ones, humanity, all the time. What do they need? What tools? So these are tools. There are songs and there are mantras. So there are songs like Love is the Answer. There are songs like Freedom. And the Freedom Anthem and Dancing in the Light. And there are mantras for prosperity, mantras for spiritual protection, mantras for increasing the harmony in your life, mantras for vitality and devotion, because this is what I use. And I know that all of us, everyone's different. You know, some people, they just want silence. Mm-hmm. That's fine, as long as you can truthfully say your heart is brimming with love. Because if not, then it would be good to add some music. Doesn't have to be mine. Doesn't have to be this or that. Some people, for example, they love classical music. I love classical music too, but I especially love the drums, you know, and dance music. So in every album, I've thought about the listener and their life and their experience. So we usually have a very quiet track of the mantra that is just for resting and for meditating, for doing spiritual work. And then there's another track. The next track is for mild activity. And then the next track has more instrumentation and a more of a pace to it. And then you have the dance track for when you want to do that heavy clearing and you've got your rattles and you're just rattling, and you want to clear your home and you want to go out there and get to all the corners and you want the inspiration. So the music really helps. So yes, that's my goal, my desire to be of service to the light is to give people all kinds of tools. There's the books, there's the podcasts, there's the YouTube videos, there's the Facebook, there's the albums, because my desire, my vision for humanity is that they sing and dance and that they do spiritual work and love it, that they find the right combination of tools to love their practices and do them with great zest and great gusto, and that you all become part of the army of impeccable warriors of light that must be present to defend this Mother Earth, this beautiful flowering earth, and that must be present to uplift everyone so that they can be free of opioids and that the children can grow up and blossom and that everyone can dissolve the negative past, whatever's happened, that you can experience like I have. There's nothing that happened in my past. And I went through lots as a child, lots. and as a young woman and not any, and on the road, even as an enlightened being, there's always, you know, people that have stolen from the center. It's always drama, you know, even you don't have to look for drama. There's always going to be some drama, but none of it affects my heart. I don't have one bit of sadness or anger or judgment towards the person that created whatever drama. It doesn't reach me because what's there, that space is already so full of love and light. So the other cannot live there, you see. So I wish that for everyone, for all of you, that you come to find out who you really are, that brilliant light. That's all you are, is brilliant light and love. Light and love, same thing. You say light, it means love. Love means light. You are that. You are that. And may all these tools then help you. And then on top of that, one thing that I wanted to mention is, you know, for years, I did offer when I was younger around the world in-person sessions of the soul retrieval work, the Holy Shaktipat Limpias. But then I came to the realization that, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. Mm-hmm. And if I'm devoting myself to those sessions, which took a long time, a lot of time and energy, then I would never finish the books. And in the Shaman's Art Journal series, we're on book 12 now, and there's 30 books that I've already written, but they have to be edited, you know, and then produced and all that. Then there's the Impeccable Warrior of Light books. There's the new, we're coming out with a new album right now called I Am an Impeccable Warrior of Light. Nice. And then there's, we've finished several other albums this year. So I realized that the way to help each of you clear yourself is to record the Mayan prayers, to record them and have them available online. So you can go online to our site and purchase those and then be able to enjoy it from the comfort of your home. Yeah. And listen to it, for example, when you're ready to rest. And they are, I'm really pleased with how beautiful and powerful the recording came out. And we have great stories always, people sharing of layers of that shamanic amnesia that fell away and the new birth of consciousness that occurs. So that is there for you also. So you have lots of tools, and I invite you to come and play, come and experiment. That's all we're all doing, is living that experiment for the light and love of the universe to be triumphant constantly.
Well, you are a true blessing. I can't thank you enough for this beautiful show. I would love to do more shows with you, so we're gonna have to get together and decide how we want to do that. But I would love to do more shows. You are an inspiration and a beautiful blessing. I feel your energy and your heart, and it's just, well, I want to say overwhelming, but maybe not overwhelming. Maybe just this beautiful
hopefully
light.
In a good way.
Exactly. Oh, I love it.
Well, the same. I feel the same. I'm very happy you're on this planet. I'm happy for everyone that crosses your path. Each one of us is supremely precious to the light. And when someone like Lori, I know that doing a show is not easy and requires, it's part of your mission. And you show up. And I'm sure that just like me, you have people around you and situations around you that occurred that distract and drain at times. Mm-hmm. But you're still loving. You're still laughing. And because of that, you're able to help so many. So you will always be in my prayers. I never forget anyone that's crossed paths with me. I write their name and put them on my altar. Mm-hmm. I have an altar then where I have all these petitions of people that have asked for help. And then I offer rose petals every day. I offer sacred herbs like rue, which is a very strong protectress, and basil, these kind of beautiful herbs to protect you, to help you bloom and blossom, and to help you reach your highest destiny in every golden way, on every level, mind, body, spirit, all your creativity, your spirituality, your prosperity, your emotional balance, all of it, so that you can forever be this beautiful instrument for the light, because the light just loves you.
Well, that is lovely. For anyone who wants to get more information, I know one of your websites is Impeccable Warrior of Light, which is IWO Light. So IWOLight.org, where you can get lots more information. We will have this up soon, probably on my website much sooner than it will be sent out all over on Friday. Peace, Mother Gita, sacred song. It was a beautiful honor. So you are listening to News for the Heart with Lori Houston. We'll be getting to the heart of what matters with Peace, Mother. It's been a beautiful journey, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I'd like to sing us out, and you Absolutely. Can cut it off at any point. So just saying goodbye to everyone. Love is the answer.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.